The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble. Man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so about yesterday, so I got food poisoning. That wasn't any fun. If you've been down that road, that was horrific. And then I thought I was going to get through the day, started class in the morning. This is my first week of classes, U.S. History, Civics, and Christian Ethics. And by 45 minutes into the class, I had to ask everybody to leave because I was about to pass out. So dehydration, just not a great day. Obviously feeling much better today, so back in the studio. There's so much to talk about in the news, but I'm not going to do that because I really want you to hear this interview with that I did this week on Monday, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. This is by Carl Truman. The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. Essentially, Carl goes, how do we end up at the place today in the modern world, here in the West, where a guy can say, I'm basically a woman trapped in a man's body, and a good chunk of the population is just now, oh, okay, well, all right, fine. You do you, I'll do me, whatever, that's fine. The transgender thing, which goes back to the gay marriage thing, which goes back to something that I mention quite often on the show, which is the idolatry of self. This is an incredible book, not easy to read because he's a brilliant man. Carl Truman is a PhD, University of Aberdeen.
Institution on Human Trafficking.
At Grove City College. And a church historian, previously served at the William E. Simon Fellow in Religion and Public Life at Princeton University, authored or edited more than a dozen books. So the guy's brilliant, okay? And this was just a conversation, like the whole rise of the modern self. Now it's all about your identity, right? So if you say you're a girl, I have to call you a different name or whatever. And it's all about the self. It's all about how I identify myself, regardless of the natural world, the natural law, or reality in general. So the question was, and the point of the book is, how do we get there? Okay, so this is the interview I did on Monday with Carl Truman, and this is the first segment of the interview. We're going to start it, and then I'll come back, and we're going to play some of it through all four segments. So it's going to take the whole show, but you really need to listen to this. And I've got some other things I want to share with you about our neighbors out to the west here in North Carolina that are suffering tremendously as that tropical storm just created a mess out there, and we have an opportunity to help. But let's play the first segment with me, with Carl Truman, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. All right, so there's a particular phrase, the rise and triumph of the modern self, cultural amnesia, expressive individualism, and the road to sexual revolution by my guest today, Carl Truman. And there's a line, Carl, that shows up often in the book, and it really kind of captivates and captures a lot of what you're dealing with in this book. I am a woman trapped in a man's body. And how have we gotten to the point in our society, or rephrase it, I think I'm a woman, therefore I am a woman, getting to the point in society where this is just something we just go, oh, okay, and we kind of leave it at that. Now, not all of us are that blasé about it, but many of us are. So how did this kind of become a meaningful and coherent statement in the modern times, and then how did that kind of lead you to write The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think there are a couple of observations to make about that statement. One, it's completely counterintuitive. It's a very, very dramatic statement. And for that statement to be plausible in modern society requires a major reversal of how societies have thought about men and women and what it is to be a man and a woman. It involves a complete reversal or abandonment of the traditional way of thinking about that, which, of course, connects very closely to biological difference, to the biological nature of male and female bodies. Secondly, the other intriguing thing is how quickly it has come to make sense, not simply to those who sit in gender theory seminars under people like Judith Butler, for example, or queer theorists, but to the ordinary man and woman in the street. And I think when you combine the dramatic nature of that switch and the speed at which it's taken place, what it tells you is that the causes underlying this change, the broader context for this change, is very deep and has been developing for a long, long time. This, in some ways, is simply the latest domino to fall in a cultural story that has been going on for some time. And it was really that drew me to want to address this question in a book. How have we reached this position where not just the elite, educated, critical theorists among us, but also the ordinary man and woman in the street find that statement, if not completely plausible, at least not as utterly bizarre as it would have been considered just 20, 25 years ago.
Right. And unfortunately, I think our society is so intellectually shallow that they don't really question these things. They just kind of accept it. But it's been, it's to a certain extent, this is certainly a frog in a pot scenario, because one of the things that was fascinating about the book, Carl, when we're talking to Carl Truman, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, was like many of people in America, I think I probably assumed most of this started in the sexual revolution of the 1960s. But then you get in the Wayback Machine, and we have to go way before that, because the philosophy that really was the underpinning of the sexual revolution started well before that time. Was that something you always knew and it just ended up in the book? Because I think a lot of us are making the assumption that we blame the 1960s.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an element of that. When I started work on the book, the 60s loomed large. But of course, when you reflect for just a moment on the nature of history in general, it becomes very clear that nothing is its own cause. Mm. There's always a backstory to everything that happens. And as I was reflecting on the sexual revolution, it became clear to me that, one, the sexual revolution doesn't arise out of nowhere. Clearly, the world is being prepared for the sexual revolution prior to the 1960s. And secondly, the story can't be simply told in terms of one cause or another, you know, as if rock music causes promiscuity, or if, you know, the thinking of Nietzsche causes the abandonment of the notion of human nature as a moral category. That the story is immensely complicated. You have elite philosophers developing certain lines of thinking, and then, for example, you have technological developments in society in general that make certain strands of philosophical thinking attractive or plausible. So, just to take the sexual revolution.
All right, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I am live here in the studio playing through an interview I did on Monday. And like I mentioned, I wasn't here yesterday. I was dealing with some fun food poisoning. I'm about 70% today. And there's a lot of things going on, obviously, in Afghanistan and some other places that we need to pay attention to, and as well as COVID and everything else going on. So I'll get back to that on Monday, rest assured. And I'm trying to get a couple people to call in that can speak directly to what's going on over there. So I'm working on that. So today we're listening to this interview I did on Monday with Carl Truman. By the way, tomorrow from 1 to 6, on the heels of the huge storm that came through the other day, just devastated Western North Carolina. I think they still have 15 to 20 people missing out there from flash flooding and everything. But some of our friends here in town, NC Strong here in Raleigh, are doing a drop-off tomorrow. They're collecting supplies from 1 to 6 p.m. tomorrow. Okay, that's 1100 South Saunders Street in Raleigh. That's just north of 40. On South Saunders, 1100 South Saunders Street, drop-off supplies. Okay, water, sports drinks, toiletries, clothes, school supplies, work gloves, non-perishable food. 1 to 6 p.m. tomorrow, 1100 South Saunders Street in Raleigh, just north of 40. So I'll remind all my local friends of that later in the show. But let's get back to this Carl Truman interview. It's an incredible book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. Let's listen to part two.
What would you say, and then I want to get into the notion of self because it really plays throughout the book, and it's something I talk about on the air regularly, Carl. I'm always saying, hey, listen, this is all about autonomy. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon had it right. It's been about autonomy since we got kicked out of the garden. And then the notion of self redefining reality, which, of course, Satan loves to do. We see that all over the place. But when you kind of go back, what are some of the names that some people might be familiar with and even worldviews like Marxism that are really in that foundation underneath what happened in the 60s?
Yeah, well, any list I give is going to be selective.
Nothing changed
course,
on.
It's not well, just a handful of figures.
Sure.
Who
have come restarting.
But I would say if you're looking for people who exemplify certain aspects.
Because we're still in a break. So I don't even know what. Did you restart the Comrex? Restarted everything. Got to restart the screen in here. Sorry, you guys. Oh, he says we hear you.
We can hear you now, Steve.
We're good. All right. You want to go live?
Yeah, go live.
All right, go ahead. Okay, welcome back. Maybe for the first time. Who knows? Crazy, crazy, crazy. And technical difficulties. Welcome back to Thanksgiving post Thanksgiving. Are you feeling better yet? Are you feeling more normal? Are you over your gluttony? And it's good to be back. Sorry for the confusion and that we are live. Okay. It's Monday afternoon, about 4:22 p.m. Eastern time on November 29th. I am sitting here right in the studio. So we are live back from a Thanksgiving break. And the only thing I'll say about that is family's really important. Spend as much time with your kids as you can before they're all out of the house. And don't go to Disney and Universal on a holiday. Okay. We had a blast, but it was crazy how full and packed the place was. But we had a blast and it was great. Five out of the six nobles were together. So I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday and weekend. And hopefully you spent plenty of time with your family. I'll just go over some things that happened last week. And then we're going to talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment today, do a little Money Monday update. So some things that happened since I was here last Tuesday was my last day on the air. So it's good to be back. And then talk about some things going on this week. Of course, the Ahmaud Arbery decision came in. I was glad to see that one. His dad reacted to the guilty verdict of the three men involved in his son's murder, proclaiming all lives matter. It's interesting who can say that and who can't. For real, all lives matter, Marcus Arbery told the media following the guilty verdicts. Not just black children. We don't want to see nobody go through this. I don't want to see no daddy watch their kid get left and shot down like this. So it's all of our problems. Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, as you remember, was shot and killed in Brunswick, Georgia. That was February 23rd, 2020, when three men attempted to carry out a citizen's arrest by chasing and cornering him in two pickup trucks. Remember? Did you see the video of that? It was really brutal. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep doing it and making this a better place for all human beings. Arbery's father said amen to that. All human beings, everybody, love everybody. All human beings need to be treated equally. Today is a good day. Gregory McMichael and his son Travis, along with their neighbor William Bryan, could face life sentence without parole for the murder. That Travis's lawyers attempted to argue he was acting in self-defense. The three men claimed, if you remember this, that Arbery was the offender of recent break-ins in their neighborhood, but prosecutors said he was merely jogging. Travis testified that Arbery never spoke to him, threatened him, or wielded a weapon. And when the prosecutor asked if Arbery just ran when confronted, he said yes. So on the heels of what happened up in Kenosha with that verdict just recently, this one's probably good, not just from a justice perspective, but from a health of the country perspective. So that's good there. Here's something that's also good for the health of the country. I was pleased to see. Have you been following this at all? Saleh Omarova, who Biden nominated to be the top banking regulator, who basically has time in Russia in her life, has written a lot about communism and has some pretty radical ideas. Well, I just saw this, that there were some Senate Democrats who have privately voiced their opposition, which means that's not going to go anywhere, praise the Lord. Senator John Tester of Montana, Kristen Sinema of Arizona, and Mark Warner of Virginia, all in a phone call, so this was reported by somebody else, of course, all said, yeah, no. And that's good, because she made remarks earlier this year calling for smaller oil and gas companies to go bankrupt. Of course, the White House defended her, but didn't comment on the Democrats opposing her. Mrs. Almarova also faces concern and opposition from other Democrats who aren't on the banking committee, such as Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. Her past academic work called for the shrinking big banks and creating, get this, a much bigger role for the Federal Reserve in consumer banking. Because that's working so well these days, right? The Federal Reserve printing money, quantitative easing, and we're printing money as if it's nothing, which pretty soon is exactly what's going to happen. It will be nothing if they continue to print money. So there's that. So that's good news, right? I said this last week before I left for vacation. Right. So thank you, Vance. She was born in the Soviet Union. I said this before I left, that ideology doesn't care about reality. Ideology trumps reality, right? So check this one out. With the Biden administration set to restart a new round of nuclear talks with the Islamic Republic of Iran, the spokesperson for Iran's military, seriously? Yes, the spokesperson for Iran's military stated over the weekend, what? Quote, we will not back off from the annihilation of Israel, even 1 millimeter. That's the brigadier general who's the spokesman for the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. We want to destroy Zionism in the world. Oh, yeah, we can negotiate with them. See, because Biden, like his predecessor, Obama, is either number one, clueless, which is a good chance. Number two, understands something about Islam, but just doesn't care. And so again, ideology trumps reality. You cannot negotiate with hardcore Muslims because they believe it's honorable to lie to your face. More on that when we come back right after this. Some nice chilled out music as we come back into the radio studio. It's great to be back with you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. By the way, if you missed the show, which is, I guess, forgivable, then you can always get the podcast. This show is podcast on all the major podcast platforms, so you can go get it and listen to it whenever you want. You can search previous shows on the website. So if you want to learn something about a particular subject, anything we've done on abortion, anything we've done on Islam, anything we've done on Trump, whatever, you can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and use the search box, and it'll pull up every podcast we've done in the last several years that has anything to do with that subject. So you can search it that way, but you can also join us here in the studio on Facebook Live or YouTube Live at the Steve Noble Show page on either one of those, talking through some things that have happened and are happening. And then we'll talk to David Fisher in the final segment of the show today. But a lot of room to run this week, so we're going to do that. I'll do my annual show on The Big Guy in Red, talking about Christians and Santa Claus. Plus, there's just things happening fast and furious. So we'll get to all of that in the coming days. I'm talking about the Biden administration on the heels of his buddy Obama restarting nuclear talks with Iran. And Iran comes out and says in the face of it, we will not back off from the annihilation of Israel, even 1 millimeter, their brigadier general said. We want to destroy Zionism in the world, which would include, by the way, us, America. The Jerusalem Post added the Iranian general also blasted Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates for normalizing diplomatic relations with Israel, terminating the diplomacy intolerable for Iran's clerical regime. Quote, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and other countries considered as Muslims, for us, they are part of the Zionist regime, and this is very important. This is the brigadier general said the same thing. The comments from Iran's military come as the Biden administration and other nations are set to resume nuclear talks in what is now the seventh round of talks to take place. Seven. Maybe it's the lucky number this time around. Maybe that'll change things. On September 13th, the New York Times reported that Iran has come within roughly a month of having enough material to fuel a single nuclear weapon. And if they do, friends, what do you think they're going to do with it? Just sit on it? Just threaten? No. If they get it, they'll use it. That's why they're after this. Quote, experts studying new data contained in reports last week by the International Atomic Energy Agency. The United Nations Atomic Energy Group said that by enriching nuclear fuel in recent months to near bomb-grade levels, Tehran has gained the capability to produce the fuel needed for a single nuclear warhead within a month or so. So let's negotiate with them to give them more ability to do that. That's what the Biden administration's doing. That's what his former boss did, Obama. Because, say it with me, class, ideology trumps reality. It doesn't matter that Islam teaches taqiyya, which is the honorable notion, the honorable practice of lying in the face of your enemies, even in order to, quote-unquote, achieve peace. You still lie to advance the cause of Allah. And Allah will be pleased and will praise you for your lying. That's why with John Kerry, they'd have talks on the weekend, and then on Monday they're burning effigies of Obama and burning the American flag and the Israeli flag, that kind of stuff. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett warned in a speech to the UN in late September that Israel was prepared to do whatever it takes to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Quote, words do not stop centrifuges from spinning. There are those in the world who seem to view Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons as an inevitable reality, as a done deal, or they've just become tired of hearing about it, Bennett added. Israel doesn't have that privilege. We cannot tire. We will not tire. Israel will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. So what will they do if the Biden administration succeeds like Obama did? They will take it out, as they should. Today, I can't believe Ghislaine Maxwell is still alive. Can you? On the heels of Jeffrey Epstein's quote-unquote death, suicide in prison, because his little black book and what those two had done over the years, and his little Lolita Island out there with Clinton and Dershowitz and Prince Andrew, all kinds of people, all kinds of big, powerful names. I think we would all be shocked if we actually saw the list of all the names that have been involved with this prolific pedophile. And Ghislaine Maxwell's trial begins today. Have you heard much about that? No, but you have heard about Omicron. And why do we skip 10 letters to get to Omicron? The newest COVID variant, Omicron, which I'm looking at news stories on this. So here's one. The guy that found it, the doctor, the South African doctor, says Omicron variant symptoms are usual, but mild. So far, he said, we've detected that those infected do not suffer the loss of taste or smell. It's kind of mild. More infectious, but mild, even more mild. Okay. But then the World Health Organization comes out and says, the Omicron variant poses a very high global risk. Now, does this have anything to do with Ghislaine Maxwell and all the big name people that could go down if that information comes out? And again, like I said, I'm shocked that the woman is still alive, because from the Clintons on down, there's all kinds of powerful people that are caught up in Jeffrey Epstein's nightmare. So would they, is there such a cabal around the world that Omicron is released at the same time as Ghislaine Maxwell? Normally, I would say, no way. But here we are in 2021, at the end of 2021. And at this point, I would say nothing's really off the radar screen anymore. But that's the world as it descends further into chaos, which is why I hope, especially in this Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I sure hope you're right with him. I sure hope your house is built on that rock. Because if it's not, and you're getting rocked all the time by the news of the day, if you're selling your joy and your peace and your happiness down the river based on what you see on Twitter or what you hear on talk radio, then there's a problem there. I'm concerned about all this stuff. I talk about it all the time. I read about it all the time. But my house isn't built on the rock of this country, the rock of the news cycle, the rock of what Fauci says or anybody else. My house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. And so if you're getting just blown all over the place by the news of the day, what's going on with the economy and inflation, we'll talk to David Fisher about that in the fourth segment, then revisit whether you actually have all your faith in Jesus. Are all your eggs in his basket, or have you kept some in your own, thinking you're a decent person, you're a pretty good person, you think you can earn your way into heaven? If that thought even crosses your mind, you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand what God's word says. So we have something on the website that will help you with that. Very simple, goes right through the Bible, great little 5-minute video, very easy to understand. If you're unsure about that, where you stand with the Lord, just go to the stevenobleshow.com website, and right up at the top of the page, you'll see the word heaven. Just click on that,
and you can get the answer. Or if you're struggling with a friend or a family member that doesn't know the Lord, you can use that as well. Just print it off or whatever. But all the scriptures there and simple explanations, so make sure you check that out. Okay, Fauci. Omicron. Sounds like the Transformers, doesn't it? On Sunday, speaking in CBS's Face the Nation, Dr. Anthony Fauci boasted, quote, "I represent science." This guy is so arrogant. While simultaneously referencing those, including those who spin lies and threatens, the Congressional Committee and the Rand Pauls and all that other nonsense, he said. Paul, of course, Rand Paul fired back on Twitter, quote, "The absolute hubris of someone claiming they represent science. It's astounding and alarming that a public health bureaucrat would even think to claim such a thing, especially one who has worked so hard to ignore the science of natural immunity." So, yes, exactly. That's like, I am the science. This guy, you know what I want for Christmas? I want Pope Fauci to retire. That's what I want for Christmas. I want Pope Fauci to retire. Get out, go move to Boca Raton, and just leave us alone. I'm so over it. I'm over him. I'm over COVID. Thank God I had it already. Thank you, Lord, for natural immunity, all that good stuff. Tom Cotton blasted off on Fox News. Tony Fauci lied to Congress and he should be investigated. Amen. He repeatedly said that his agency did not fund dangerous and risky gain-of-function research in those Wuhan labs, which almost certainly was the origin of this virus, which is why it's okay to call it a China virus, by the way. He said it repeatedly to Congress. His agency just admitted a few weeks ago that, yes, they did, in fact, fund gain-of-function research. So there's a lie there. It's either Tony Fauci lying to Congress or his agency, after months of stonewalling, writing a letter to Congress and admitting it. I suspect it's Tony Fauci lying on the spot in his testimony to Congress. This was Tom Cotton. He put the American people at risk by funding this dangerous research. True. Which was happening under the Obama administration. True. Which he thought he knew better than the people's elected representatives. Definitely true. It's just another example of how these bureaucrats think that they are the science, that they represent the epitome of knowledge, and those grubby politicians like the President of the United States and the United States senators and representatives have no business telling them what to do. That's not the way our democracy functions. Well, Tom, you might be a little nostalgic on that one. That might be the way, that's not the way our democracy used to function. But sadly, it's the way it functions today. I'll talk more tomorrow about the Supreme Court this Wednesday hearing the Mississippi case. That is a huge deal. So I want to talk about that tomorrow. But hats off to our friends in Australia, the land down under. According to local police, get this. More than 20,000 Aussies marched throughout the city of Melbourne on Saturday, just 2 days ago, with thousands more protesting in Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra, and other cities across the country. Other similar demonstrations also occurred last weekend as part of an international day of protest against COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccine mandates. That's awesome. Now, what's the problem? Well, some of the things they're doing in Australia, they propose 2 years in jail or a $90,000 fine for anyone who, quote, intentionally and recklessly violates a public health order. That's why you have to hashtag resist this stuff. Not just talking about COVID and science and facts, but the overreach and the overpowering maneuvers of the federal government. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Great to be back here in the studio on the heels of Thanksgiving. And did you notice last week the plummeting Dow Jones Industrial? Did you hear a big kaboom when it plummeted over 900 points? That was brutal. And then today, of course, it's up 236 points. So the usual continues. We're all over the map. And so as we always do on Mondays, it's good to be able to go to our good friend, David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing good. I used to like yo-yos when I was younger, but now it takes on a totally different meaning.
Yes, indeed. I could live without it myself. And so we're going to talk about that because the stock market's obviously a yo-yo. We've got Congress and the year end. And so we'll talk about all these things. And then we'll do a full Money Monday next week. It'll be the first Monday and the last full Money Monday of the year as we are in December, starting on Wednesday. So we'll do that next week. But I know we always start with a passage of scripture to get our compass set straight. So we're going in the Old Testament. So lead us there, David, and then we'll talk about the rest of this stuff.
Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." A very favorite scripture to many of your listeners and myself and you. So there was a boy named Glenn who grew up in Kansas, and in 1910, he was 8 years old. His legs were badly hurt in an explosion. They were burned. And in fact, his brother accidentally put gasoline on a fire in a grade school in a heater instead of kerosene, and so his brother Floyd died in that fire. Mm-hmm. But back to Glenn, the doctors recommended to Glenn's parents that they needed to amputate Glenn's leg because he couldn't walk, and he probably would never walk, is what they said, the rest of his life. But Glenn was distressed about that, and the parents decided not to follow through with the doctor's idea of amputation. But he did lose a lot of his flesh and his knees, his toes, and some muscle, but he had great determination. One of his favorite scriptures was Isaiah 40:31. Mm-hmm. And 2 years after his accident was the first time he walked.
Wow.
But in 1934, Glenn Cunningham set the world record for the mile run at 4 minutes
seconds. Unbelievable.
Determination and God's miracle work in his hand.
What a great story. I've never heard that story before, David.
I heard it the other day, and I thought it was more than worth repeating.
Yes.
I Googled it, and it is definitely real. And,
wow.
You know, sometimes we don't give enough credit to how miraculously the Lord can work. And
that's
if we
right.
just apply a little tenacity, how he can increase this environment for him just to do miracles. And,
oh, man.
And obviously this is one.
Yeah, what a great story and a great passage of Scripture, Isaiah 40:31. Thanks for that encouragement on the heels of Thanksgiving, and that's just great to hear. Thanks so much for that. That really puts kind of a modern context to Isaiah 40:31 and just a great reminder for all of us. Okay, so the market down on Thursday, the huge collapse on Friday, down over 900 points. I could hear that kaboom all the way down from Orlando. So what's the deal with the yo-yo? You mentioned that earlier. Up and down, what's going on?
So Wednesday, it went down, not right after, but within an hour or so after Jerome Powell was being renominated as the Fed chair, and it went up initially because it took away this surprise, and the market doesn't like surprise, but then Jerome Powell said that they were going to start tapering, and so the market went down. And obviously the market was closed on Thursday, and Friday the market came down because this new variant called Omicron, a COVID variant, that is. So Black Friday became Red Friday, 900 points. It was the biggest sell-off on Black Friday in 70 years. Gold in the S&P and the Dow. Gold and silver surged. Who knows how this COVID variant is going to, you know, spread. Fauci said it's going to almost invariably spread all over. President Biden said this morning we're not going to have shutdowns, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah.
And he did put into place where 7 countries are not allowed to, those people are not allowed to travel to us. But unfortunately, there's a few countries where the variant is already in where they're not on that list. So we have some unknown here going forward, and the market doesn't like unknown. But today, it's going up into the green a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say this pretty often, David, that the market is more like a human being. It's emotional. And so it reacts emotionally to the news of the day. And you're Omicron, and everybody's run for the hills, including the market. So it's good to see it up today. So we only have like 4 weeks left in the year. Of course, we have Christmas break and everything. So what's Congress facing as we finish up 2021?
There's two major things on their plate. The Senate needs to still pass the Build Back Better infrastructure, $1.75 trillion bill. So they're trying to get that across the finish line, while at the same time, the opposite is happening. They got to raise the debt ceiling. So it's kind of like an oxymoron here. Let's pass a spending bill, and let's pass a raising the debt ceiling so we can pay for it. So December 3rd, we'll run out of money, according to the short-term funding, that $500 billion that was passed back in October. So that short-term measure, funds are going to run out. They'll expire on Friday. as far as when we'll completely run out of money, according to Janet Yellen, that's December 15th. And then after that, this whole terminology, what we've talked about before, extraordinary measures, rob Peter to pay Paul, in other words, take money from Social Security or the trust funds, and Social Security is bankrupt. So here's the number on Social Security. If you pull back the onion, since 2010, the revenue has not been met. The revenue hasn't exceeded the payments. This number is staggering. It's $59.8 trillion.
Jeez.
Of what is the gap between promised benefits and future tax revenue on payrolls. It's grown almost $7 trillion in one last year. So the Social Security fund is projected to run out by 2033. That's one of the funds that they normally rob Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do this time, and we'll see what happens. But the 15th of December is when they start that, and the projections are we would completely run out of money sometime mid towards the end of February. But we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just remarkable to consider these things. So, you know, you look at the past two decades that we've taken on significant debt. I'm looking at a chart right now, David. Back in 1990, we were at $3.2 trillion. And then today, of course, we're at almost $29 trillion, so we've skyrocketed. You see this curve up, 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 up. You'd like that if that was your overall net worth increasing like this. But in this case, it's the country's debt. So we've always done that. I mean, there's always been an issue there, but particularly in the last two decades. Should we be more concerned now versus like 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, we have soaring trade deficit, too, and soaring inequality and unfunded pensions and other few ugly issues that have been happening. The debt-to-income ratio, or the debt-to-GDP, was two decades ago 86%.
Mm.
And now it's over, it went over 105% a decade ago. And now some say it's 126, some say it's 135, some say, you know, Jeffrey Gundlach, he says when you add the unfunded liabilities, which Social Security is the unfunded liability. I mean, we got to pay it because
right.
We're obligated. It's unfunded. We're over 150% debt to GDP. I mean, you cannot make those payments. It's impossible. So it's becoming an issue, yet full steam ahead. Let's just pass another bill and let's raise the debt ceiling and let's continue as status quo. But, you know, the day of reckoning will definitely come at some point. Who knows when? I don't know, but we're headed fastly towards that day.
No, that's exactly right. It's unavoidable. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And that's why we all need to consider that as we look down the road, and we need to consider what we're doing with our money, whether you have a little bit or a lot. And so that's why diversification is such a big deal. That subject comes up just about every Monday that we talk, David. But last week we were talking about gold and silver. It's had a very interesting year, to say the least. And of course, when the market does what it did last Friday, that's good for gold and silver. But what's an update on that, and what can we expect through the rest of the year?
So I'm going to take me out of the picture. Here's a Dr. Nicole Astrid Bell. She is the director of the Cupel Advisory Group. She said that gold is in an uptrend, and that uptrend is intact. She also said this, quote, bull markets have varying degrees of gestation, and some of them can be exceptionally long in duration. So she's referring to a pullback in gold. And she's also saying that right now we have an inflation and global uncertainty which favors gold, and all the elements are circling around the globe in a very, very good look for gold. I think we will look back on this years from now, and this was an opportune time to enter this sector called gold. And she says when we look back at the full duration, she says she's not surprised that we might have a 600 to a 200% movement upward in gold. So if she's partially right,
yeah.
I think we'd wish we all had, who are listening to my voice, all had some representation in gold and silver. I know I do, I know you do, and many of our listeners. But now is the time to be looking at the possible idea of getting diversification and getting some information from us. We have a packet on that.
Yeah, and I can tell you from personal experience, just last week we got a safe deposit box in a local bank, and in the gold and silver that we purchased. I took it over there myself, and it's nice to have a tangible in your hand asset that's not in the maelstrom of the market right now. And it was just a great sense of relief and security for us that part of our savings were in there. What's the best way for people to get more information, David?
Pick up the phone and call the old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Or if you want to go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. We look forward to a full Money Monday next week. Have a great week.
You too, my friend.
All right, pal. We'll talk real soon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.